You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word, your work on Calvary's cross, your saving grace. So deal with us. Well, thank you very, very much. Here we are looking for that kind of refreshment, that kind of enlightenment, that we might be more lined up moment by moment with you. So as we proceed down the corridor of time, God, you'd be an ever-present help. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And here we are in God's presence. And therefore, the event that we're going to read is happening right now. We're in God's presence. And God, here we are. But as we read and think, you see that as if it was right now. So God, we're trying to get the educating lessons for our experience. Now, and here in Jeremiah is an awesome book for many reasons. Now, so here's Nebuchadnezzar coming down, and the city's going to be destroyed, the temple's going to be destroyed, and in the process, Jeremiah has continued for all of these length of time years in bearing witness to them. They have become very, very hard, and God keeps going because God isn't finished. Like with Pharaoh, God tested Pharaoh. He could have stopped at plague number 5, but God chose 10 plagues. And then he did what he did. So God, you choose the 120 days, whatever it is, you choose the timing. So thank you for that. So here we are looking, and Jeremiah is plugging away, and it's very difficult. Now, in the process of that, and Jeremiah would like to see a good response, but there just isn't going to be one, hasn't been one. In fact, it is permanently not going to, definitely not going to happen. So now, and they're out to kill him. They're out to kill him. So everything is against him, and he's still in the ball game, playing in the fight, round after round. Now, and in the process of that, we share together that he looks, having said everything, and he's going to go. And in verse 10, he's going to say, they are all set against me. They're trying to kill me. They're trying to trick me. They're plotting against me in every way, shape, or form to find a way to get rid of me. That's what they were doing. So therefore, Jeremiah looks for punishment, understandably. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion or shame shall never be forgotten. And we shared all that together, so we got that. And in the process, we looked at in verse 12, but O Lord of hosts, that trieth the righteous, and seest the writ, and seest the reins, that's the inside the kidney, inside your inwards, the very vital parts of your body that make you function. Verse 12, but the Lord of hosts that trieth the right puts to the test, like metal, heat the metal in a crucible, heat the metal and get rid of the dross, gold, silver, etc. Trieth the righteous and seeth the reins of the and the heart. Let me see the vengeance, the judgment, remember verse 10, on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. So he's looking Jeremiah is looking to God, and looking for God's word, looking for God to do something, to equalize the occasion. And God doesn't answer him. Hang on to all of that. And God doesn't answer him. God, you don't answer him. So I want to get that message. I got that, God. So Jeremiah, what on earth did you do? God isn't saying anything. You're just giving all the comments. And you're turning, verse 11 and 12 and 13, and you're looking to God. But God isn't saying anything, and God isn't doing anything, but you're going to look to him. Now, that's what he does. And now, God, you don't say anything because you don't need to. Understand that, because that's a big thing, big truth you need to understand. God gives you his word. Exercise it. He doesn't have to give you a pat on the back. He doesn't have to do a whole lot of things to get you to believe, to trust. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't do that. He could do it, but he doesn't. Well, what does he do? Jeremiah is going to help us instantly here to grab hold of something we need to just be very, very conscious of. And in order to get the movement, I'm going to go to the top of the pile, which is our Lord himself. Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, picking up if I can, and you'll get it, God. Now, our Lord did the same thing. God didn't answer him. He's God. But in his perfect humanity, God didn't do anything. The Lord went through what he did. And the devil tested him 40 days and nights in Matthew chapter 4. And we see, if I can, in verse 3, and when the tempter came to test, to put him to the test, he said, and remember that's the first class that means since. That means the devil understood he was the Son of God. There's no question about being the Son of God. The devil knows that. So if, or since thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread, because he haven't eaten 40 days and 40 nights. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that's a direct response to a need. Devil's saying something, the world's saying something, and the Lord answers and said, God has said. And then you want to underline in your mind the three little words, verse 4, it is written. It is written. I'm telling you what is written. God has said it and wrote it and believe it and exercise it because it is awesomely powerful. Now, again, our Lord, without any response, is going to go in his perfect humanity. And if I can, in verse 6. Well, for time's sake, I read it. Thus saith unto him, Lord, if, there's the same thing again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down as it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, that, the devil says, claim that promise of Psalm 91. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. So it's what it says. It's what God has said in the Old Testament. And he says, that's what God has said, and that's what is, and the devil has no, what are you going to do? Nothing. God said it, he meant it, it's done. That's all. You're going to have a big debate. No, you don't have a debate, not when God said it. Not if you're trusting God. He said it. There's nothing to say unless you're getting in trouble. Now, again, the third time, as you know, picking up, if I can, in verse 9. And this is giving all the kingdoms which the devil could do. Verse 9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if, the same thing, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, leave. For, why? It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Back and over to Deuteronomy. How did he do it? Perfect man. He just remembered what God had said, exercised what God had said, and God honored it. Jeremiah, what are you going to do? You're in hot water, and you're in trouble, which we're going to look at. And you're in trouble, and you've been beaten up for so long, and the rounds keep going, like in the fight, the round 95, and you keep coming back into the ring, and you have an encounter with the world, because the world never quits, the devil never quits, your old nature never quits. So you never get free. The fight's never over, that's all. So you got to keep, how do you do it? Well, God, you're going to cheer us on in the corner of the ring, etc.? No, you do what you're supposed to do. What I tell you to do, do it. And that's what Jeremiah did. He believed God, and he said it about God. God was able to try and test his heart. God was able to deliver him. God was able to fix and go after the enemy and exercise his power. There's no question he believed that. So that's what Jeremiah was doing, and that's what we're to do. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, it is written, and therefore we want to believe and exercise what God has said. Now, in the light of that, and you know all the different ways to say that, to understand that, thy word have I hid in my heart that I, what? I might not sin against thee, Psalm 119:11. That's why I put it in there, so I know. I don't have to wonder. So, God, tell me, what did you say? No, I told you what I said. Make sure you keep it in your mind and heart so you can exercise it. Okay. Now, otherwise you can't. That's truth about anything, isn't it? You have all these little computer things and all the buttons and everything. You don't have to open the book every minute to do it. You get acclimated to the moving your finger and sliding everything around, and you get acclimated to it, and you're familiar with it. That's right. That's because you do it. Then you pick it up, and you know what to do. God's word, hide it in our heart, so we know what to do. Now, having said that, in the light of Psalm 119, God, and now, over to see that a little better, and to put that into focus for us, God, is that your policy? Uh-huh, it is. Has that always been your policy? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, picking up the thought, if I may, and you remember as we're going through Joshua on a Sunday night, and in Joshua chapter 1, picking up, please, I'll get the little flavor of it. Verse 6 to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Why? For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I want you to honor my word. That's what I want. And Moses gave you my word. We have the book of Deuteronomy. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And God, you gave the word. And they were to honor the word. There's no question about it. Now, and in doing so, you'll notice in verse 7, that thou mayest prosper, that you may be able to be very prosperous. And in the process of being prosperous, it means to be wise, to be perceptive, to be able to make wise judgments, and thus to make wise things. And as you do wise things in a wise way, you reap the benefits of acting wisely, and you profit. You have good success. That's what you're going to have. And if you do that, how did you do it? Pay attention. Don't go to the left. Don't add to my word. Don't subtract to my word. Read it and rest in it and believe it. That's all. That's what I want you to do. Don't play with it. You want to let it. It'd be like a different illustration coming to my head. It'd be like putting seed in the ground out in there to plant something. And you put the seed in the ground, and you put the seed down in the ground and in the right place and pat down some dirt on top of it. And the next day you come out, because you've mocked it, and you uncover the dirt and take the seed up and check it and look at it and say, wow. And then you put the seed back and you do that. Now, the seed's progress of the seed of going down, roots down, and upward, two things, and the process of doing that, it's hindered from doing that. And if you go, Matthew 13, thy word, the seed, or the word of God, and you put it in, and then you think about it for a minute, and then you don't think about it. Now, how much is that going to grow? If you put it in, let it stay there and nourish it. Don't take it out. And when you think about it, thank God for it. Say it again, memorize it, whatever. And to your heart and head at work, at school, wherever you're going. And you do that. And as you do that, God, if the seed is going to, it's going to produce. And in top of that, you want to add what? In the rest of verse 7, and whether so, and that thou mayest prosper, wherever you go. Now hang on to that part. Wherever you go. Now verse 8 quickly. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, chew, masticate, get it down and assimilate it into your system, wherein day and night purpose, that you may observe. Why are we doing this? So that we may what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's what I say. That's what's going to happen. Honor it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Make thy way prosperous. And here's the verb again that you have in the end of verse 7. And thou shalt have good success. And you're going to be wise, and you're going to have good success. That's what you're going to do. And verse 9, and as for have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So I want you to honor my... How did Joshua go? And you want to know why Joshua succeeded and why he did what he did? And God honored that, and thus he moved the people. God did it. God said it. As the people understood Moses was the authority, the people will understand you're the authority, and they won't buck you. Moses, they murmured and mumbled, but it didn't do them good. They died. So with Joshua, you don't find any murmuring. You don't find any of that hardly, nothing. The people wanted him. He's going to go. And we're going to win wherever he goes. We're going to cross the Jordan that way. That's how we're going to go. Now, so here we are looking, and God, you're going to go, and you're telling Joshua to understand what God has said and honor it. That's what the people were to do in our study of Joshua. But they didn't do that. God told them what to do, but they didn't do it. They didn't need to have God come up and give them a pat on the back or a big pep talk. What they had to do was believe, and they did. So now, Over, if you would just while we're on that little thought, and we'll come back to that in a different way, over to 1 Samuel, just to see it again, it works, wonderfully works. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and you're going to be able to cause, it's going to make you causative, make you have good success. That's what it's going to do. Now, David, boy, how come David's heart was with God. And verse 5, and with Saul and all of that. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him on his assignments, and Saul was king, and behaved himself wisely. There's your verb. You'll have good success to act wisely. You'll be very successful. You're going to have skill or wisdom, and it's everything's going to work. That's the way it works now. And therefore, he behaved himself wisely, and Saul set over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And sliding over to see the movement of it, verse 14, David again. David behaved himself wisely, there's your verb, in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now, you want to know why David was a man after God's heart? God loved David. God was with David. Oh, David had his problem, but God took care of that, and as you'll see in a minute. And in sliding down, verse 15, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, there it is, he was afraid of him. Why? Because wherever he goes, it always works. So you don't want to go against him. How are you going to do that? We're getting in trouble. You don't want to go against him. God was with him. And verse 16. But all Israel and Judah loved David because, why did they? Because he went out and came in before them. Now, what is it about that? That's what they loved him for. Whether he was over here, out there, didn't make any difference. Wherever he went, he had good success. Now, back to the background for that and the basis, Deuteronomy and chapter 28, as you know. Deuteronomy and chapter 28. And may I pick up, please? In verse 1. And it 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set over thee, shall set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Now, that's what you're going to do. You're going to make them exceedingly special. Why are they going to be exceedingly special? Because God is going to be exceedingly special in them. That's what he's going to do. So hang on. You're going to be special. Wow. Uh-huh, that's what it is. And all they had to do was honor God's word. And here he said, God said it. And therefore, God said it, and when you read his word, his promises, and resting on his word, he's right, here we are, God, in your presence. You said this stuff. You said it. That's right. So, God, I'm going to read it, but here you are, you said it. So I don't have to figure out, and do I have all the answers? Or no, I don't. Neither do you. Do we understand everything? No, we can't. Too much. We can't. But what we can do is thank God he knows what he said, and he understands what he said, and he does what he said. He doesn't do how you think it should be done. He does how he meant it to be done. So that's very helpful. So you want, God, you need to do it this way. No, God, you need to do it the way you mean it. And therefore, God, it's a wonderful thing. So God, we have your word. And you give this, remember, you know all these things. Verse 2, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And you've read this 5,000 times. Now, God, and you're going to go, and there's no amen, no amen. No, don't have to say amen. Don't have to say it. Why not? Because my word, my blessing, if you're going to look to me and honor my word, I'm going to be after you like a lion hunting a deer. And I'm going to chase you and catch you. My blessing is going to be like the lion. And you don't have to, all you have to do, you may run, but I'm going to catch you. I'm going to catch you. My blessings are going to catch you. Now that's awesome too, isn't it? We've got to ask, God bless us. You can't honor my word without me blessing you. You have to work at it. No, you don't. How do I get blessed? Ah, God, that's your wonder. Hang on. We may not get very far, but wow. Now, and while we're here, in that, and now slide down to us. We want to tie that together. Oh, over in verse 6, sliding all the way down, Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. Now, why did the people love David? He was blessed when he went in, and he was blessed when he came out. Boy, that's a companion. That's somebody to be with. I got to tell you, that guy's blessed. That's right. Hang on. Now, and on the other side of the coin, remember, if you don't look for God's blessing, God, then it means if you leave God out of the picture, there's no blessing. And if you leave God out of the picture, what are you going to find? Chapter 28, sliding over, if I can, to verse 19. I'm going to read verse 15. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You aren't going to get away. You aren't going to get away from them. And the one in particular we're looking at, verse 19, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. So you're either going to be blessed or not blessed. I'm either going to be with you in a blessing or I'm not. Now, either you're going to honor my word, and my word is going to work. It's my word. And if you're believing my word, that's what I do. You don't have to worry. Don't sweat. Wow. No. But if you're going to leave me out, then you don't have the blessing. And you don't have the benefits. Now, if you don't have the benefits, you might as well, I'm going to use the word curse, said God, because you're going to be like everybody else that doesn't know me in the world. And they're all going to do what they're going to do, the way they're going to do it. Over, if you would, please. Psalm 121. Here's a traveler's psalm. Believers, we use it. You read it. You probably memorized it, maybe. But what? Why is it a traveler's psalm? Because you want to have a relationship to God. I will look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's right. And sliding to all the way down, Psalm 121, all the way to verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and shall preserve thy soul. Here's the same verb again, sliding down to verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. So God, that's David, Joshua, wow, that's right. Moses, what did you tell the people? If they'd be blessed and they'd be a super duper, they'd have all the benefits of being a superior, not in a bad way, in a wonderful way, to have all the benefits of God. But they didn't do it. They didn't honor God's word. Jeremiah is trying to honor God's word and looking to God's word to make it work and make it work in a most awesome way. Now, so having said that, We're supposed to walk as children of light. And how do we walk? I'm trying to get you to put the practice it a little bit. We're going to honor God's word. So how are we going to go? We're going to go honor God's word. That's what you told us to do. And you don't have to prompt us and help us. We're going to just understand that's what we're to do. So now, therefore, we to walk, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going to walk by faith. Faith is what? Without faith, it's impossible to please me. So we're going to look to God by faith, resting on his word. Going to rest in his word. That's what he told us to do. Don't trust in ourselves. And don't lean on your own understanding and all of that. And to look to God. And that's what we're going to do. So we're going to do that. And as children, we're going to walk by faith. And we're told, and all the rest of it, in Ephesians 5 and all of that, that we're to walk in as children of light. We walk in as children of light. That means we aren't in the dark. We know him, and we honor him. We honor his word. We honor his presence. Now, in the light of all of that, then we face the dilemma that we have to be exercised in. And God, you exercise us. Now, before I do that, though, in the process, back over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, we picked up in chapter 20 and in verse 7, we picked up the thought. 20 and verse 7. And we shared together, 20, I didn't mean to say verse 7, but that's all right, 20. And we shared together verse 12, that the Lord of hosts that triest puts to the test of metal, crucible, heating the metal up, molting, getting it all liquid so that you can, the dross all comes to the top. You can cleanse it, clean it, purify it. And the righteous. So God, you do that to the righteous. So Jeremiah understands that. Do we understand that? God, here's the world we live in, here's all the trials and troubles come. And God, and the world is in trouble. The world, in the days of Noah, only Noah and his family was really free from things. The evil increased intensely, increasingly, overwhelmingly, for 120 years. And then you slide all the way over to the tribulation on the other end of the scale coming up, and the tribulation, that trouble is there with great trouble and there. So Jeremiah, hang on to the middle. Here's Noah's day. Here's the tribulation. And then here's Jeremiah with the people in Jerusalem and Judah. And they're just like Noah's day, in a different, little same thinking, just like the tribulation, leaving God out, Jeremiah is facing that. That's an awesome thing. Now, God, who are you testing? Now, in the testing, you're helping who? The righteous. You're helping the believer. Who are you working on, God? I'm working on the believer. Now, hang on. You got to see the other side of the coin, which we can do now quickly. Over if you can, in your Jeremiah chapter 6. And Jeremiah chapter 6 is going to help us. Verse 27. I have set thee for a tower, or a place of testing, and a fortress among my people. Reason, that thou mayest know. I want you to have, the word know means to have experience. It means to experience something. It doesn't mean to intellectually have a fact. No, it means to experience the fact. If you hit your finger now, you would experience the pain. Experience, mentally involved. You're involved in it, not disconnected in thought. This is what I think. No, you're connected to it. That's the word. That's important. Because, next word, and try their way. There's your little word, the try, that you try the righteous. You put them on trial, you do everything, you do all that. Uh-huh. God, now what are you saying, God? I have Jeremiah as a crucible, and he's going to be red hot, and I'm going to have him deal with Israel and Jerusalem day in and day out. And he's going to put them to the test to see if we can find any metal, gold. Is there any silver in you? Is there any gold in you? You're going to use Jeremiah for all of those years to test those people. But in order to be that, Jeremiah has to be tested. Do you know, if you were exercising, jumping a little bit here, if you were exercising for some event or something, whatever it would be, using Olympics, that's pretty obvious, and you're doing that, and you're in competition all the way along before the games, and you're in competition, and you're in competition with five people over here, and we do whatever, and we've exercised for it. Now you're going to go from five people over here to 10 people over here. Now, can you keep the same mode? Don't you have to go back to the gym or whatever you're doing and stay with it because you just did five? You're now going to go to 10. And you have to keep increasing the stamina, the movement to produce, don't you? Each time you have to go into competition, it's harder and bigger. Jeremiah, what are you going to do? You're looking at a people that are breaking your heart and breaking you into pieces. And I'm going to allow you to be tested something fierce. And he does, which we're right there. We can't do it now. And to be tested, you're going to have to face, you're all broken up and terribly depression. We're going to look at that. But it has to be. Otherwise, what are you going to do in the next 3 or 4, 5, 10, 7 years or so when I level the city for real? When all that you talked about, bodies laying in the ground, no place to bury anybody, poverty, disease, awful wretchedness, evil. What are you going to do when the real event happens? So you're getting him ready. Getting him ready for something. It's coming. And you have to have that in you. It's one thing to sit there and watch a film in the military or something. Watch the film on landing on the beach, some beach in somewhere, and landing on the beach and watching, and you watch the film, and you see them get off the barges and all that stuff, and you see that. And you see that, and then you say, make sure your guns have bullets and stuff, you know, and you do all that. But when you go land on the beach, and you're in the trenches, and the guy next to you has his head blown off, that's a different thing. It's one thing to be and watch operations, people have operations and do everything. It's another thing when you're put in the cart and you're wheeled down and they all look down with you with their gloves up in the air and their swords and their knives and everything up there looking down at you. That's a whole nother ball game, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, that's reality. That's what's missing. That's what we shared at the conference. That's our trouble with the future. The people coming up have no history. And the history of yesterday is all gone. There's only a few left that even have it, even know it. And they're caught in the electronic world, which is exponential, like this. 100 times quicker pretty soon. And all you can do is hang on like this. We shared it, didn't we? Shared it. And that's all you can do. You don't have time to spend time to sit and understand something. You have to keep moving with it. You can't catch up. You can't put the pieces together. There's new pieces, new units, new everything. Wow. God, you can't use people like that. No, you don't. You don't. That's obvious. So God, here we are. Jeremiah, what are you going to do? You're going to go and help Jeremiah go through the mill, the ringer, awfully so. He's going to go through it. You'll see it. He's going to do it. God's going to have to go through this in order for what? That his own heart will be tested, exercised. And he wants, remember we read it, well, we're looking, I'm still looking at it. I didn't move. Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah 6 and 27. And they will know, Jeremiah, you're going to know what it's like to be lost, to have a hard heart. You're going to let the people are going to so bombard you that they're going to tear you apart inside. And I'm going to let it happen to experience what it means, where they're headed, and what they're up against. And without experiencing it, how can you possibly relate to the problem if you never understood it? And God's going to let him go through it. So, because he's the crucible, God's using him to heat up and melt and prove what? The end of Malachi. There's no gold, there's no silver. I've tested you all these years, and I've got nothing but dross, waste. Look at it. After all those years, you produce nothing. And Jeremiah was my instrument. But Jeremiah, I had to do a work in him in order for him to do a work in you. And in doing it, I have a man. I found a man. I found a woman. I found a boy. I found a girl. Wow. That's an awesome thing. I'm just in it. Did you get a little? You have to understand. You honor God's word. God honors it. That's all. You don't have to have big anything. Well, I don't have anything. No one's encouraging me. Read it and believe it, and God will encourage you. That's what you do. That's what you do. And God will honor it. And in honoring it, he's going to help you to grow, be strong and of good courage, and you're going to go down the corridor of time, and it's going to work in a most wonderful way. Now, and in the process of all of that, in a minute, I'm going to give you one other thing that'll help you. In Jeremiah chapter 12, you remember we did all this, it's wonderful. Jeremiah chapter 12. Picking up, remember Jeremiah has his, he's trying to struggle through all this. And chapter 12, verse 3. But thou, remember he's looking to God, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried, there's your little word, tested mine heart toward thee. And God was testing him. Jeremiah's testing them, and God's testing him. So it's a wonderful interaction thing, how it works. You know, you get real confident, and then you fall down your face, and you fall down, and then you realize you can't trust your confidence, you can't trust anything, you get back up and go again, and pretty soon you do pretty good. Wow. Now, so chapter 12, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried me, mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long? Now that's what Jeremiah says. I understand God. He's been there a while now. Remember, how long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beast are consumed, and the birds, because they have said, we shall not see the last, our last end. And Nebuchadnezzar is never going to come. And Jeremiah wants to know, well, look at the years are going by, and they're saying that. And so Jeremiah says, well, listen, you know how long we've been saying this to them, God, and they just aren't responding. So how much longer is it? And you know the wonderful thing, verse 5. If thou hast run with the horses, or footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, when you thought everything was reasonable, comparatively, what are you going to do? Wherein thou trustest, they weary thee. You're tired, even when everything isn't real bad yet. Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan when things get really bad? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Jeremiah? I'm helping you. You're running. You have no problem yet, Jeremiah. I'm trying to help you get ready in here, in your heart, to handle all that lies ahead. I want you to have that. But I can't. You're going to be my tool, my vessel. But I have to have you ready. And I'm going to have to help you. So Jeremiah, if you thought you had trouble now, this is back in chapter 12, wait till you get to chapters 20. Wait till you get there. If you thought that was bad in chapter 12, wait a few years and watch what it is in chapter 20. Watch. Are you going to be ready? I'm trying to help you. Trying to help you get there. God, wow, that's an awesome thing. And God, you said, you're level with us. We're sort of stupid about, not you guys, but we're sort of stupid about everything. You know, God helps you. We have some daydreaming something about everything. Totally unreal for the most part. and God, it's awful hard. So God, here we are. So you may have a word of prayer. I hope that little bit. You're going to trust God. And God doesn't have to give you a vision in the ceiling. I know people say, well, I woke up at night and the ceiling lights were blue and pink and orange. You see, no, you don't have to do any of that. Look for that. You don't have to have anything. In quietness and confidence, what? Shall be your strength. In returning and rest you, you'll be saved, first part. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That's all I want you. Rest. No. That's all I want. Awful hard, isn't it? I told you to pay attention to what I told you. That's all. I just want you to pay attention to it. But I don't want any buts. Pay attention. When I say stand, stand. Sit, sit. And I'll help you. And it works. I'll bless you. I'll bless you when you come in. Bless you when you go out. I bless you when you go to bed. I'll bless you when you get out of bed. That's what I'm going to do. So you learn to trust me, and that's how it goes. But I hope we don't have any problems. No, I can give you awful problems for your end of it. But the awful problems that you'll think they're awful are for your benefit. They aren't going to happen if I don't what? 1 Corinthians 10. They aren't going to happen if I don't want them to happen. You can bet your boots. You can go stick your hand in the plague of all plagues and you won't catch anything. Someone can be 10 miles away and catch it. God said, I'll take care of you if you really, really believe me. And that's what he does. That's what I'm trying to get you to get excited about.